So I'll start off by chanting the four vowels. Anyone that knows it is welcome to join in. Shigu segan mo on shujo. Said in the email, I'm going to speak about shikantaza, which means simply sitting, just sitting. And the reason why I chose this is because I was looking on the Soto Zen school, the Japanese Soto Zen school site, and they have a lot of articles about various terms that they believe that we in the West should understand that maybe sometimes get forgotten. And this was the first that they chose, one of the turns, so I thought I would share it with you. And so I had a look at their article, as well as other sources, when I was kind of thinking about what to say to you people. One of the things that I learnt, which I wasn't aware of, is that the Soto Zen school, which some of us are ordained in, does have an official kind of doctrine, that which you ought to believe, if you see what I mean. And it was interesting to see what that was, because I wasn't aware of this. And it really is very simple. There's only two things which they say. This is the Soto Zen doctrine. Realize shikantaza and soku shinze butsu is what it says. And so I thought, since I've just recently been officially ordained in the Japanese, recognized by the Japanese, I was thinking, I should have known this beforehand, but I didn't. But it turns out it's all right from my point of view. It's quite... it fits in very well with all that we've learnt over the years and practised over the years in the simplicity of what is at the heart of Zen, I think. Because the only things that are core to Zen are realise shikantaza, which means just sitting, simply sitting. And sokuzin shinze butsu, which means the mind itself is Buddha. There is no more to Buddha than the mind. And so in Soto Zen, whereas a doctrine often represents something you should believe, in Soto Zen it really is more about what is important from the point of view of practice and how you relate to that practice that is at the heart of the tradition. So rather than having a kind of, these are the things that we believe, it's these are the things that we practice, and this is our understanding of the practice that we do. And it is straightforward, it is simple, but not easy. So the practice is, which I'm going to talk more about, is just sitting. Shikantaza means just sitting, simply sitting. And Soku Shinze Butsu means mind itself is Buddha. And what that is through sitting, and the key thing also is that it's not that you should believe this, it's that you should realise this. And the word realise is not quite what we mean when we say realise, because we realise, oh yes, I realise that I should have been, I should have done the shopping and I've forgotten, or I realise that the answer to this problem is that. Realise means to make real. And so we, in our lives, if we follow the Zen way, we make real just sitting, and we make real mind itself is Buddha, which means we manifest it, we embody it, we bring it into the world, effectively. And mind itself is Buddha is effectively saying that the heart of Buddha is not external to us, not separate from us. The heart of the Buddha mind is exactly what we are already with. It's not something special. It's not something that you must find outside yourself or move towards. It's something that is always already with you and always already with all of us and always already with all of existence, effectively. So mind itself is Buddha, is mind. Our mind and mind are not separate. And mind is the manifestation of reality. And so we realise this through shikantaza, simply sitting. That's all that's necessary. And so mind itself is Buddha. Effectively, it links back to the founder of Zen who brought Zen from India to China, Bodhidharma, was said to, he's a legendary figure, we don't really know exactly what he did, but one of the things he is said to have said is, all is special, no thing sacred. So which is that Buddha is not some sacred thing that's separate from us and separate from reality, but Buddha is everything. Sacred, all is special, everything is sacred and nothing is sacred, effectively. So Buddha is not separate from us, but it is mind. So Buddha, mind and reality are all manifestations of the same thing. So mind as Buddha is always already with us. And it is through shikantaza, simply sitting, that we express it in the world. It can be expressed in many other ways, but the heart essence of Zen is that the heart of this expression is simply sitting. The essential way of expressing this is simply sitting. And simply sitting has several meanings. The first is that nothing other than sitting is necessary. So in Buddhism, there are many different practices. If you're familiar with Tibetan Buddhism, you'll know that there's many different kind of forms of practice which it can take. And if you're a Tibetan traditions, it's the same with Japanese Buddhism. There's many different, though it's less common in the West to be familiar with the Japanese techniques. There's many different things that one can do, many different practices one can take. But from a Zen point of view, simply sitting, what we have just done, is the essence of practice. And all other practices are secondary. And for some people, so that means if someone says they are Zen, if they don't practice simply sitting, then they're not Zen. You can be a Zen person who does nothing but sitting and never does any of the chants that we do, for example. There are Zen groups which do sitting but no chanting. In Japan including, there are temples which will just sit without any ritual. But you won't find temples which do all the chanting but never sit, because that is no longer Zen. The sitting is what is the essential part of the Zen practice. So if you don't sit, then you can't say that I am following Zen in some way. That's the essential part of Zen. Doesn't mean that you can't manifest the same spirit in other ways, but the sitting practice is key. And I'll speak a little later on about why sitting practice is essential and other practices can manifest it but are not so essential. So nothing else is necessary other than sitting. Doesn't mean we don't do other things, but sitting is necessary. And then the second part of this, which I've spoken about before, is that just sitting has a sense of that sitting is a rhythm you create in your life. And it's important to find ways of creating a habit and rhythm around sitting. Whether that is coming to the dojo regularly, maybe you might come once a week and that's the evening or morning that you choose to come, or whether it's partly through practicing at home, but finding some form of rhythm and regular connection with it. It's not something that you do on occasion or sporadically. It's not something that you choose to do. It's something that becomes part of you in the same way that for many of us, probably most people in this room, cleaning your teeth is something that just happens. It's not something that you need to sort of consciously make happen. It's become part of one's daily ritual. And it's the same thing with sitting, that sitting in the Zen tradition becomes part of our ritual of life in some way. It becomes something that we naturally do as opposed to something that we choose to do or force ourselves to do. Having said that, that doesn't mean that it's not difficult to get up when the alarm goes and get to the dojo in the mornings. It still is. But nonetheless, it becomes part of our life. So that's the rhythm of sitting, which is, again, part of the sense of just sitting. But the core essence of just sitting is the nature of the practice that we do. The practice that we do is we are not striving to do anything more with our mind than allow it to be as it is in its fullness and beauty. So that the practice of just sitting is effectively sitting. One of the reasons why we emphasize the posture, the clarity of posture, is that the posture that we choose allows us to, allows our thoughts to loosen. We try to create a posture, the tradition has created a posture which allows us to let go of thought more easily. It's neither, as I was saying earlier, it's neither arrogant or submissive. It's a posture which just allows us to be letting go of the different ways in which ego manifests itself. So a clear posture which allows us to loosen thought is an essential part of what we do. Allowing things to be in the posture as they are, discomfort that maybe we experience, but on the other hand, we shouldn't suffer. And letting go of everything that is in us that is not just sitting is really the art of the practice. Thank you very much. So letting go of all that is not just sitting is effectively the core of the practice. Letting go of thought, the many ways in which it emerges. And effectively, when we live our lives, it is a natural part of our humanity that we are at the centre of our lives, the natural part not only of our humanity but almost our animal nature. Our nature as a being is that we have evolved to have the me at the core of our life, and it's necessary from a survival point of view. That we have that. Otherwise, we will just wander in front of a bus, yeah. Or fail to go hunting when necessary, or whatever. So it's something that's evolved within us, but nonetheless, it traps us in a small conception of who we are. It traps us in our animal nature, and we are our animal nature, but we are more than our animal nature. And the act of just sitting is to let go of all this, of the egoic thoughts which put the I at the centre of the universe that we live in. And so the art of Zazen practice is simply to let go of those illusions which have their validity, but let go of them to allow ourselves to expand beyond the egoic I. So it's letting go of all the thoughts that come up, the mundane thoughts, the magnificent thoughts, the happy thoughts, the sad thoughts. So not only thoughts but feelings, everything that comes into us. It's also, and this is a very important part of Zen practice, it's also letting go of the idea that we are doing this to get something. It's one of those paradoxes in Zen. Kurosawaki, who was the teacher of my teacher's teacher, a great quote from him was, "Until you get it through your thick skulls that Zazen is good for nothing, then it really will be good for nothing." So we need to let go of the idea that we are going to get something, because fundamentally there is nothing to get, because it is always already present within us. However, it is not always made real. And the act of trying to make it real, us trying to make it real, in our minds will not make it real. That's the paradox of Zen. So we let go of our striving to make something happen, striving to be enlightened, to use a Buddhist terminology, letting go of our views about what Buddhism is, even that it does say, you know, you must let go of the way of Buddha. You must even let go of the way of Buddha, which means letting go of your ideas of what Buddhism is. Let go of conceptualizations, let go of all thoughts. let go of your ideas of what Zen is. So we let go of all of this, and inevitably it always comes back, as anyone who's practiced for any amount of time, it always comes back. And that's just the nature of it. It's something that never goes away. The mind always fills with the ego, because that is part of our nature. But nonetheless, we can create space. We can allow the sky behind the clouds to be more vividly present in our practice. We can allow ourselves to taste the universal by allowing our awareness to open beyond the thoughts which can clutter and cloud the mind. And so by doing this, then, in just sitting, by simply sitting and letting go of all which is not simply sitting, then awakening is manifested. Mind itself is Buddha, is manifested. It is made present there without us necessarily thinking about it. In fact, as soon as we think about it, it will escape. But it simply is present there. The space between the thoughts is made alive and vivid in us. And one of the things that, so there's the classic image that Master Dogen used, is the idea of the moon reflected in a dewdrop of water as it falls from the beak of a heron into the lake. And that is a metaphor for our lives, is that our lives are as fleeting as a dewdrop which falls from the beak of a heron into the lake. But nonetheless, the universal mind is reflected and made manifest in our lives as the reflection of the moon. And so we are both personal and universal. Practice and enlightenment are realized at the same time. One of the core parts, it's written up there on one of those seven, I'm not sure which one. It says practice and enlightenment are not separate, they are not different. And for Zen, that is because practice is personal, what we do, and enlightenment is universal. It is what is manifested through our practice. Practice and enlightenment are just two sides, two different ways of looking at it, like the image of the candlestick which turns into two people kissing. It's just a kind of an optical illusion. It's me sitting, or it is enlightenment being manifested through me. It's two different ways of looking at the same thing. So practice and enlightenment are manifested through us by simply sitting, by doing no more than simply sitting, being present, and letting go of anything which is not simply sitting. And so that is the core of Zen practice. That is all that is necessary, and that is what we practice here. Practice in both senses of the word. We practice as in making real, and we practice as in creating an environment where, through regular returning to it, it becomes more natural. So that is the essence of simply sitting. So simply sitting is letting go of all thoughts which are all egoic thoughts, simply to be present. And I wanted to just say one more thing, which is about, because we do many other things. We carry out rituals, we do ceremonial eating, and then the whole of one's life is, you know, we cook together, we clean the dojo. The whole of one's life, there's many things we must do. We have meetings with people at work. We deal with the relationships we have, maybe our family, whatever. There's many things that we do. And from a Zen point of view, we always strive to be present, strive to let go of... When we're practicing Zazen, it's letting go of all thoughts. When we are engaged in an activity, it's letting go of all thoughts which are not necessary to be truly present in the situation. And so when one is in a meeting, it's letting go of all thoughts which are about, you know, I'm not looking so good, I'm looking great, whatever, or this isn't really working, or all those thoughts, letting go of all of those and just simply be present on the moment and allowing oneself to manifest what is appropriate in that moment to move things forward. And when you're cooking, obviously you need to think about what ingredients to put in, etc. This is the example used by the teacher I was reading, when you're cooking, you need to think about what's necessary, but you let go of all thoughts which are not so relevant. Just to be clear, letting go means noticing and not judging, not saying, oh, I'm a bad person because I'm thinking about this irrelevant thing, but it's saying, oh, there it goes again. So it be, and I'm back doing something again. So that's the art of Zen, letting go of thoughts as we simply sit, and letting go of thoughts which aren't necessary for what else we're engaged in. And so I'll finish there. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you. I will finish. I'll just do the Negawakawa chant, and then we'll, anyone that knows Jiho Sanshi will chant Jiho Sanshi together. Okay. Nega waka waka no kudoku wo motte yamane kui sai ni oyoboshi Ware ra toshu jo tome na tome ni butsu do wo shozen koto o Jiyo sanshi ishifu Shifu